Okay, it was your shaking to make the break a bit longer than foreseen, but happy you are back, at least some of you. Yeah, I want to continue by looking at the more difficult part. The difficult part is, what do I do if I do not have an inner concern, or if I have more voices saying something when I am going to do something very egoistic, for instance, or some people came up during the break asking, and when I follow my inner consent and I'm going, I want to kill somebody or so. Isn't it this a way which leads me to a too egoistic life? You see, we are afraid of ourselves, and we are afraid of others. Do you really think that you, when you follow your deep feeling, your resonance, including the moral conscience, that you would go and kill your mother-in-law or your parents? Sometimes we say, oh, I could kill them. But this is an impulse. This is not an inner concern. And so it is important that we are able to distinguish and to free what is the inner concern from impulses, from affects, from psychodynamics. They are not personal. Not everything what happens in us is so personal, is connected with our essence. Because we also have to defend ourselves, to fight for ourselves. We can become aggressive. Aggression is important to protect our life, but it is not a consent. It comes out automatically. Consent is really something what is speaking to us from the inside, what has the character of an inner voice, what I feel to be authentic, corresponding to myself, where I can see this is really me. So when you're sitting here, this is an expression of your inner consent. You came here because you personally wanted to be here. This is inner consent. And when I say my partner that I really can't stand this kind of behavior, that he's always treating me that way, then I'm congruent with myself. I feel that this is really true for me. And I tell him, I offer him what is really true for me. And then this has the character of inner consent, even though he might not like to hear that. But I am standing up for myself, and I am giving him or her my perception and how he or she is acting upon me and impacting me, and how it feels like for me. And this is important to share that in a relationship. Or in a working relationship, it's the same. To be more human means to show more how things are for ourselves, how we experience it, and to say it in a way that I can identify with it, I can stand behind it, that I can be with it, that I feel congruent with myself. Yeah. The other question is, when I don't come to a real consent, when I can't find out, how can I find my freedom, my actual freedom in a situation? And this means that we have to go deeper. Inner consent is just the point of an iceberg. Underneath there are many more things to be considered. When I have an inner yes to something, this means that I have included four dimensions of existence, the four dimensions of existence on which the inner consent is standing. This means that it is a fourfold yes, based on the, we call it, dimensions of existence. So if we encounter difficulties in finding inner consent, we refer to these underlying structures. The underlying structure is like a table with the four legs. This is the consent, the yes, or the full existence. Which is based on the legs of the primary fact that I am born into a world of facts, that I have to live within this world, to breathe this air, to eat that food, to have shelter, to deal with physical reality, chemical reality, political reality, economic reality, with all my realities. We have to deal with this. This is the reality. This is a fact. I cannot live otherwise. Everybody knows that. But this means dealing with reality, then I want to do something. When I'm looking for my inner consent, I have first to ask myself about the world. What is my reality, my outer reality, my inner reality? Can I deal with it? So the primary question is, I can. Can I with this reality? Am I able to do something when I do not have the knowledge, when I do not have the money, when I do not have the power, when I do not have the time, when it is simply too big, too heavy, I cannot lift up that stone, that problem. So the first checking is, can I really? Am I able? Because it must happen in this reality. It's not a dream. Existence is not a dream. Existence is firstly dealing with reality. My being there in this world, in this situation, with this body, with this age, with this family background, with this economic situation, with this health, with these people with whom I am working together or living in a family, etc. Can I be there? And if I get the feeling that I cannot be there, I feel anxiety. Anxiety is the feeling, here I cannot be, I cannot overcome. The reality is extinguishing me, I'm in danger. Then I cannot be. And then we get the natural feeling of anxiety. So, we have first to deal with the reality, with the world. The second element I have to deal with is that I am in this reality in a special form, in a special way. I'm living this is different to a stone. Living means being born, growing, maturing, becoming old and dying on a physical level. And on a psychological level, I'm living when I'm related, when I feel something. Living means feeling. I'm present here as a feeling being in relationship. Having a relationship means having feelings for that person. And being, letting me be touched by this person. Then I am in a relationship. Then I am living. When I am touched, when I feel, when I am related. So, I have to deal with my life. And this is combined with relationship. And values. This brings more life into my life. Of course, physically, on a physiological level, we are living, and as long as the heart beats and we are breathing, the physiological life continues. But this is not enough. We want to experience life. We want our life being lively, full of life. And so we have the existential challenge to care for bringing more life into my life, for caring for my life, in my life, in my relationship, in my outer relationship, in my inner relationship, in my working situation, in my free time. What brings me life there? How much life do I experience in my surroundings, in my present time, when we are fallen in love, we experience a lot of life. Then we have intensive relationship, lots of feelings. Then we feel life intensely. So, not knowing if I have a yes or not, I have to deal not only with the reality check, but I have to deal with my life. And what is my personal activity in it? I look at, do I like what I do? I like. When I do something what I don't like, I will not come to a full inner consent. I can do it, of course, maybe, but if I don't like it, then I'm not relating to it. I'm not bringing life into my life. I'm excluding the life aspect of my existence. But existence has a necessary life aspect, because I am here only as a living human being. And we are responsible to bring life into our life. Who does it for us if we don't? We don't do it. So, let's care for this. Have a close look. Do I like it? Because this means there's a kind of love for it, in it, when I like it. Sometimes, for instance, speaking up a problem with the partner, I say, I don't like it. No, I would like to to not confront my partner because it's going to become painful. I had to cope with this. So I don't see a pleasure in it. But then I say, okay, then I don't speak it up. It's not pleasant. But then I feel, but somehow it's not good if I don't say anything. It's not good. So I feel sorry, I feel a bit sad, because I get the feeling that something valuable is missing or possibly not happening. And so I say, well, it's not pleasant, but it's so important, valuable. I somehow even like to speak it up, although it will be painful, because it has a value. It has a value for me not to be silent, not to just swallow it down, but to speak it up. You know, there are different aspects, even in this dimension of existence, that I like is not similar with being pleasant. Sometimes it's pleasant, but sometimes it's not pleasant, and it is still valuable to go to the dentist. It's not so pleasant, but it is valuable, and thanks to God there are dentists. Sometimes it's so good, this experience, to have this possibility. Second dimension. You see, it's becoming quite complex. It's incredible what we do with this reduction of information to come to a single inner consent. There is so much in it. Then, what is the next dimension? I can exist only with this reality and with my life, physical and psychological. And the third reality is that I exist only as me. I can only live as the one who I am, and I'm always the same. Since my childhood, I remember pictures which I see, I remember that scene, and I look quite differently than I looked at that time, and it's still me. I have to live with myself, and I have to be myself. I can never be somebody else. I sometimes thought I would like to be a woman for one day. Or when I was younger, I would have liked to be a role model, which I had, a teacher. And I said, I want to become like him. Also, yeah. This is important, that I grow as the one who I am, but I cannot never step out of myself. I cannot take leave from myself, not even for 1 minute. I must always be myself. You can step out a little bit when we go to the cinema and see a movie, and then for 2 hours we are in a love story and so on. Then we forget a bit our reality and we are in a different life, but then stepping out from a movie is one of the hardest moments in life. Coming back into one's own existence, like your own reality. And so I have to be myself. So the third reality is to be a person
being oneself with my authenticity and with my identification. So I have to check how does this fit with me? Can I identify with what I'm going to do? Is this important to me? Am I really interested? Or am I doing it just because somebody else wants it? Is it also my interest? Does it fit with what matters for me? When this, what we are speaking about, not matter, does not matter to you, your inner consent will be weak. This table will have one leg at least which is not there. Then it is shaky. Is it corresponding to me? So is it ethical? This is also this dimension. Ethical means it really corresponds with my essence, so I can identify with it. It says something about me. So if we are looking for an inner consent and building it up because we don't have it just intuitively, which is often the case, but sometimes it's not working like this, then we can work decidedly, we can work personally, we can work in a counseling situation or speaking with a friend or a partner and going through these dimensions. And in the third dimension we ask may I do it? Does it I may do it. It is I feel that it is allowed from my inside, not from the outside. Not so much. A little bit this is also influencing me. But primarily is it am I responsible when I do it? Is it correct? Is it just to me and to the other? And you see then the question of killing somebody becomes a bit difficult. Maybe except ethical killing of other people may take place. For instance, the attentat on Hitler was considered as very ethical decision to kill a human being. It can be congruent with oneself. It can be very authentic. This is also on the margin of our existence that this happens in rare cases that we can be congruent. But, and you know, many suicidal bombers may have this agreement in their culture, religion, conviction. But maybe, and this is my question to them, I never had one in my practice. So I can only speak about my fantasy about it. If they would become really personal, I doubt if they would do it. This is maybe more indoctrination and fanaticization then really acting on this personal basis of inner consent, of inner felt, personally felt yes. So may I, does it correspond to me? Practically speaking, is it interesting enough for me? Is it in line of what I want to live for, of what fits to me? When I'm studying laws, for instance, because when you have studied laws, you get good jobs. And it's rational to study laws. But then it's not interesting when I have more interest in psychology. I will not have an inner consent. But father and mother says, you must do that. My friends, everybody around me, they all agree. But I don't. And if I am not strong enough, if I do not have enough trust on myself to stand up and to say, but I don't feel it like this, then I will lose myself. And they will answer me, yeah, it's just your feeling. You must be rational. You have to think at your future. It's more important that you, then you can go to insurances and to banks and you make the big money and you have a good life. It is rational, maybe, yeah. But if I'm not a lawyer for my heart, if it doesn't correspond to me, if I'm more a musician or a psychologist or whatever, then it would lead me away from me and I'm going to lose myself. And then I get feelings of emptiness, of lending myself. It takes much more effort. It's consuming to learn something what is not really interesting for me. I may start to procrastinate and to, yeah, you understand, yeah? Or in love, it's the same. If this person does not really fit to me, and this is a feeling, because love which is rational is not human love. When I know why I love somebody, I'm not loving. Because this person knows so much, or is so clever in doing this or that, or is so helpful, or is so lovely to me, or has so much money, or is so beautiful, or whatever, then this is not love. Real love is, I simply can say, I don't know why, the way how he or she is and looks and behaves. This is touching me. This is attracting me. It's also free. This is the same like the inner consent. It comes up from the inside. I can't decide whom I'm going to love and whom I'm stopping to love. All these very important issues in our existence are not dependent from our control, from our production. We don't produce them. We are receiving them. We should go over to a much more receiving attitude towards our life. It is so rich if we are open to receive. This is not fashionable nowadays, I know. But this is where we are suffering as a society, that we want to make everything, to bring everything under our control. So let's speak what is coming up in me, my dear dad, law is not interesting for me. You need a bit of discipline in your life, otherwise you will not be successful. It's very difficult. I don't really feel love for this person. Yeah, but you are already pregnant, or she is pregnant. You know, you see how difficult it is to come along in real life with this beautiful concept. It's not so easy, and we have to make compromises sometimes and to make it work and but not to lose the contact with this firehouse, lighthouse, because it gives the orientation. And the fourth dimension is, well, this world and life and me, what else? I'm here and want to, and I'm here and I'm always in connection with a great context. I'm a contextual being. I'm in the context of a family in which I grow up. I'm in the context of a culture. I'm in the context of a professional work. I'm always there for others, not only for myself. I'm there as a child, also for my family, as the family is there for me. So I'm connected and I'm attached to others in a greater context. Context. In a horizontal context, like family or where I'm put in, I'm speaking now in the context of psychology, in the context of helping people, in the context of working at coming into a greater life. This is in the context in which I understand myself, and I'm in the context of in a vertical context of time. The child, the youngster, the young man, the old man, and the future of until death. The context of time. I'm always going into a future. The present is open to a future. So context, and let's take the future as a special focus. I'm living for a tomorrow. We are doing this not to have it done today and not more. No, we hope that this has a future, that we can apply it better in our life, in life of others. If it has no future, then it has no meaning. So out of this comes the understanding of meaning. The what for am I doing it? This is the question of meaning. What for am I sitting here? It's not just to be occupied and to... Maybe the lowest what for would be to kill my time, to not being annoyed this Saturday morning. Yeah. This is also already a little bit of what for. But of course there are much bigger horizons in which I am putting myself, and that's what I am doing actually. If I don't have a what for, I will not have a real fulfillment. I will not have a real yes. this, I cannot bring up a inner consent, because inner consent means that all these four dimensions converge and are bound together. So to check if I have an inner, real inner consent, I'm going to ask myself, and looking into my life, my world, my context, my biography, my time, should I really do it? Should I? Is there a requirement that I do it? Is it needed? Is it wanted? Is there a call for me? If it is not needed or wanted, if there is no requirement, why should I do it? Because we all have the deep thrive, the deep longing to experience that I am good for something. I want to experience that through my hands, through my arm, through my being, something good comes up, arises. Something good which is possible in the future. I'm producing something. Something good. I'm good for something. When I cook a meal, I experience I'm good for something. Even if I cook it for myself. And if I speak with somebody, if I consolate a child, I experience I'm good for something. When my life is no longer good for something, why should I continue to live? What for? And then suicidality can happen. If this dimension is not fulfilled, people become suicidal. What for? And they are very prone for addiction and drugs. Because when real life is not good, when I'm not good for something in real life, then I prefer to go in a virtual life. So when this dimension is not working, the reality context, then I become anxious and fearful. When I'm not really connecting with life constantly, I become depressive. When I'm not able to connect with myself, this suffering we call hysteria and personality, most personality disorders like narcissism, borderline, they suffer from this dimension. And here people become suicidal and have a great proneness to addiction. You see, when it is not working out easily, we can go a step, a story deeper. And even here, in each of these dimensions of existence, we have several more stories to go deeper and deeper until we reach a ground which is spirituality. In the deepest, we touch such a greatness which is superseding us, which is much beyond of what we can capture, and which we let speak to us. The ground of being, the ground of value, which is life, the experience of the value of life itself. The ground in myself, in being myself, is my being a person. From this being a person comes the inner consent. This person is something which is much bigger than I am.
which is beyond of my understanding, but what I can encounter and connect to. And the ultimate meaning, the meaning of being, is also there's a spiritual dimension which is, which we cannot know. What is the meaning of my being? We can only know what is the meaning of my actual situation, what I can contribute in this actual situation. This is the existential meaning. The ontological meaning is encompassing everything. It is transgressing my capacities. So tomorrow I plan to work more on each of these dimensions and to not to use the helicopter, but to walk into these dimensions, to work a little bit practically, to give the most basic practical form of application. What can I do to have, to be more able to be there, that I can expand my capacities, that I can live more realistically, than to connect with life, to be myself and to me. This is a short overview of existential analysis, which shows the structure of existence. It is the structural model of existence. We have also a processual model of existence. What can we do to work through situations where I am stuck, which are occupying me, where I cannot get rid of, which are painful and I cannot resolve it, which are so traumatized. I'm so traumatized that I'm digesting again and again the situation. And so, to work it through, we call this the personal existential analysis. This would be another theme. This is much more therapeutic. So, but just to give you the idea that the structural model is the construction of the house, and the processual model is the cleaning of the house, the working in it, that we can move freely in the stories of these four layers or four stories, each of these four stories of the house. Our training is dealing, basically the first 2 years, it is dealing with this fundament. It is open for counseling and for psychotherapists, that we get a good understanding of how we can see this world and ourselves and the connection and to deal with this, so that we can really expand or make more rooted our existence. Then we do it both theoretically, but mostly based on personal experience, with working in small groups and with group self-experience and individual self-experience, and so that we can connect it with our own life and work on our blind spots and our painful experiences sometimes. It's not therapy, it is self-experience. To get to know myself better, how am I dealing with it, how was it for me, what is important for me in my life, that I can really live it, because when I have it for myself, then it is much easier to speak in counseling or therapy with the clients and patients. And then the second part of the training is dealing with the pathology, with all these inhibitions or blockages of these dimensions, which lead to specific psychopathology, and how we can treat this psychopathology on the basis of an understanding of what, on what it is, in what it is rooted. This is for the training. Then, what do I have? Maybe you have to say something more. Mm-hmm. We brought some books here. If you want, this is a reading book. Different authors, small texts, mostly in practical application. It is thought for people who are not professional in existential analysis to have a broader understanding.
Yeah. I have a question.
I just wanted to say thank you so much, Alfred, for keeping mm-hmm. us warm in this cold weather. Just a small organizational question. Tomorrow is a workshop, as Alfred has announced. It will be a small group of 30 people, so we have maybe 5 places left. If you're interested, please join. It will be from 9:30 to 4:30 with a lunch break and small
At 12:30 lunch break.
Yeah. Yes, at 12:30 lunch break. So you're more than welcome to join. If you would like to watch the video again or share it with your friends, you'll find it on the page Existential Analysis in the UK. And please join us. Workshop tomorrow and a big course if somebody would like to study existential analysis and counseling. Alfred starts it in March. All the information will be available workshop in March, course right. in May. So all the information is available. If you're interested, please ask me and we will put all the information on the page.
Thank you, Alex, for helping us in our in the organization.
Thank you.
If you have questions, come up to me. I will be here for your questions and